You're listening to Sound Ideas. A retired Unit 5 educator recently called for more aggressive efforts to hire minority teachers in Bloomington Normal. Camille Taylor made her remarks during a panel discussion following a screening of a documentary about threats to the African-American middle class. GLT's Charlie Schlenker talks with District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley about that question, which Riley says is a challenge.
It's a very difficult task, and it's one of those things that we've attempted to do over a number of years, and there's a lot of factors that play into that. But here's one of the things that we're doing. We, at one time, and this was pointed out during the, or at least maybe after the viewing of the documentary, we have a minority teacher recruitment committee that meets periodically. That committee has been in the works for quite a number of years. It was there when I was a building principal. It was there when I was an assistant superintendent of HR. That group consisted of Illinois State University, Illinois Wesleyan, representatives from Unit 5, District 87, Heartland Community College, and Lincoln College. And what we attempted to do during that time was to grow our own students and ultimately give them scholarships to those institutions. And in the end, they would come back to our schools and teach in our buildings. We had very limited success with that in the 90s. And then you fast forward to today, that committee has been stagnant for a while. But even prior to that documentary, I've got two board members who've come on recently, two newer board members who have an interest in this area, and they've committed to reviving that. So Dr. Herschel Hanna, my assistant superintendent of human resources, he'll be a part of that. We'll invite those other institutions to reignite that. But we're spreading that out to not just our own students, but to students who are at those respective institutions, and out of that would be a commitment to come into our schools. The reality we face is there are not a lot of candidates to begin with in any of our educational areas. All of our teaching areas are declining in the number of candidates. That's the first thing.
Yeah, there's a widespread teacher shortage.
Exactly. And then you add to that shortage, minority candidates are very few, far in between. And what I found in my experience in trying to recruit minority candidates from different areas, if they're not from this area, in general, they tend to want to be either in their own hometowns or in larger urban areas such as Chicago, St. Louis, those types of places. So it's very difficult to recruit those folks to a Bloomington Normal area. And I don't have the answers. If I had them, we'd have more. But it is important to get people in front of our kids that look like our kids.
How many do you have? I mean, what is the difference between the teaching body and the demographics of the community?
It's a pretty big difference where we have, and I'm going to give you estimates because I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. We have probably about a 20% African-American population in our students. We have about 9% Hispanic. And then there's a smaller percentage that's biracial. That's a newer category that's come about in the last probably 5 years or so. So you add all those up, and we're pushing probably 40% all across the board. Our minority teaching population, and even if you throw in all certified staff, so administrators, paraprofessionals, is down in the 10% range. So you see there's a big difference between those two, and some of it has to do with the things that we've already mentioned. But those are challenges that all of us are facing across the country. It's not unique to this area. And quite frankly, we're going to have to rely on people like Camille and others who see this as a need to step up and do recruiting for the community, because this is not just a school district issue. It's a community issue. If you really value that and see that as important, we need ambassadors out there in the community to sell this community, to sell the school districts, to make it a very desirable place for minorities to want to come, work, and live.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're speaking, as we periodically do, with District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley. Why do you think the Grow Your Own program in the 90s did not turn out to be all that productive, and how can that be worked on in the second iteration?
Boy, Charlie, if I had the answers to that question, we'd have it done. I don't know. I can speculate. We haven't done any study that can really nail this down. But a lot of kids would not look at education as a career where they're going to make a lot of money. If you think about a high school kid who desires to have a career, they don't tend to think about teaching as one, unless they've had someone who taps them on the shoulder and encourages them. And that's one of the things that we really attempted to do. But if you think about the 90s when we had this program, even my counselors, the people who were working with the kids about careers, that sort of thing, I did not have a minority counselor. You gave the example of Camille Taylor in Unit 5. I don't know how many candidates or how many kids Camille might have been able to influence to get into education. I suspect she probably had some success compared to us, but when you try to tackle something of this magnitude, if you get a few, that's great, but in large numbers, that's a different challenge. And so I think some of it is just the fact that they don't see those people in front of them. It's not someone that looks like them. Now, we do have folks in the community. We have mentors. We work with the Hunter Blackmen. We work with the NAACP. And, you know, there's a phrase that the Hunter Blackmen use quite a bit. They will be what they see. And if they don't have role models standing in front of them that look like them, sometimes that just doesn't even spark the interest to go in that particular area. So we have a lot of work to do, but it's certainly not laid at the footsteps solely of the school districts. If our community wants to make that a priority, then the community has to help make that a priority and help recruit to make that happen. We cannot do that on our own. Remember, we are a public school district, and it's not as if I have large departments of people that I can send across the country to do recruiting like a big business can. Even though we're one of the larger employers in the community, we just don't have departments like that. We have limited budgets. We have limited means to be able to go and sell ourselves, whether if you go to, we've attempted things like going down to recruit at the historically black colleges in the South, and we've had absolutely zero success doing that. Now, we don't have a lot of experience in marketing and selling. That's not what most of us went to school for. And when you compare us to a company that can do that and have specific departments that have that kind of expertise, you start to understand why it doesn't really work for school districts, because we just don't have those departments to be able to do it.
Looking forward, are you going to need more of African-American teachers or more Hispanic teachers? What are the demographic projections for that 10 to 15 years out? Statewide, Latinos are the largest and fastest growing minority group.
Sure. It's hard for me to project what we're going to have in terms of our population in 10 or 15 years. I don't suspect it's going to have a dramatic shift to what it has today. But regardless, we don't have enough as it stands right now. So those two that you mentioned would be a priority. And it's very difficult. One of the things we had at one point in time was a bilingual principal leading Bent Elementary School, and we've got a great principal there today, but he's not a bilingual principal. He's working really hard on that, but he isn't today. And that made a big difference for those families that were there, and may have even inspired some to think about education as a career, because they had a role model that was standing right there as the leader in that building. But we have had some limited success in getting some Hispanic teachers through our doors, or some Hispanic paraprofessionals. So there are some, but certainly not the numbers that we would like to see. And I can give you a good example of what I did last year. I offered jobs to two bilingual teachers a year and a half in advance, because those positions are very difficult to fill. One of those two happened to be a Hispanic individual, and we were successful in landing one of the two, and it happened to be the Hispanic individual. But that doesn't always work, even when you're offering jobs to kids coming out of college a year and a half in advance.
They haven't even done their student teaching by then.
They haven't even done that at the risk
of... You don't exactly know how they're going to turn out.
At the risk of that, and at the risk of you have the potential to even be overstaffed if you don't have the growth you might expect or there's no turnover in the staff. Those folks have the ability to pick and choose where they want to go. The market's very good for those candidates. But for us, it's limiting because the pool is very thin. And, you know, again, when you think about Hispanics who want to make a difference, and again, I'm generalizing to my own experiences and conversations with folks, they tend to want to go to the places where there's larger concentrations of native Spanish speakers. So they'll target areas like Texas and Arizona and those places who not only have those demographics in greater concentration, but they look at things like the climate and the weather. And here we're in central Illinois, and we have, you know, we're approaching the gray and dreary days. And if you're out there recruiting in those types of weather conditions, that doesn't look attractive to a number of candidates. So we have to sell in other ways, and that's very challenging.
Barry Riley is the superintendent of District 87. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet, Charlie.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
And you're listening to GLT and Sound Ideas.